This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Hip dysplasia or hip instability is the most common birth abnormality impacting newborns around the world, as well as the number one cause of hip arthritis in women under the age of 40. The cause is still unknown, but certain preventative measures can be taken to help protect newborns. Early diagnosis, hip healthy swaddling or loose leg swaddling, and proper positioning while being carried can help decrease your newborn's chances of developing this condition. The International Hip Dysplasia Institute, or IHDI, is the global humanitarian leader in the fight against hip dysplasia. The physicians who comprise the institute are the collective hub for hip dysplasia innovation with the global vision of a world free from suffering caused by hip dysplasia. Current initiatives focus around preventative techniques, early diagnosis technologies, and new treatment methods, but everyone can help by raising awareness of this condition. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Charles T. Price, Medical Director of the International Hip Dysplasia Institute, a global consortium of physicians who come together to share their expertise in a coordinated effort to promote best practices for the prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of hip dysplasia. Dr. Price, a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you, Eric. That was a great introduction. I think you covered all the high points, but it's great to be here and great to talk with you.
And certainly our pleasure to have you with us, and we try to be thorough as we set things up for you. So tell us, what is hip dysplasia? Get into some of those details a little further.
Well, you kind of mentioned that there are actually two types of hip dysplasia. Everybody's heard about hip dysplasia in dogs, but a lot of people don't know it happens in people too. And it's the infant type or the childhood type is instability, where the ligaments are loose and the hip can actually come out of the socket and be completely dislocated, or somewhere in between. Now, there's another type, the adult or adolescent type, that's stable, but the socket doesn't develop properly. It's real shallow, and that leads to extra wear and tear because there's not enough support for the ball that's in the socket. So those are the two types.
Dr. Price, how common is hip dysplasia, and what are the risk factors?
Well, that's a great question. It's actually very common. I think it's so common that it's kind of been overlooked because it's the most common abnormality in newborn babies, and as many as 1 in 100 babies needs treatment or observation for it, which is pretty common. In adults, it's, as you mentioned, it accounts for about 5 to 10% of all total hips done in the United States. And it's the most common reason for a total hip before the age of 50. So it's really common. It's global too. In some countries, even in China, it's as many as 1 in 100 people. In Norway, it's 3 in 100. It's really frequent, and it's a cause of disability. I think we're finding more of it because the population's aging, and we're seeing more and more people with hip problems caused by hip dysplasia.
Yeah, quite interesting. Really appreciate your bringing attention and focus to this, and we can't thank you enough for allowing us to be a part of getting the message out as well. Tell us, what are the symptoms and how is it diagnosed as one is diagnosed for hip dysplasia?
Well, that's one of the tough things, and there really aren't many symptoms until your hip wears out and starts hurting. In babies, the really severe forms can be uncomfortable, but surprisingly, the baby's hip is pretty flexible, and it bends sort of like when you bend your ear. It doesn't hurt to bend your ear. So the baby's hip socket can bend and come loose without knowing it. And the symptoms are generally the parents might notice a limp, or when they're diapering the baby, they might notice that the legs don't spread quite as far apart as they should, and if that's the case, then they should ask their pediatrician. Most of the ones in babies are picked up by the pediatricians on the newborn exam. That's a normal part of the newborn exam, but the pediatricians can detect those. What we're finding, though, is there are more and more of them that are coming out after birth. And there's some reasons for that. But it just because the newborn exam is normal doesn't mean that the child is free of the condition. And we also know that when there's a mild condition in childhood, that's what probably leads to the more serious problem in adulthood. So the symptoms in adults are pain in your groin, kind of in the right in the front of your hip, not on the side so much where the muscles are, but right in the front. And it can, if it hurts at night in that area or hurts with physical activity, then that can be hip dysplasia. But babies don't have much symptoms except for limping or limited stretching of the hip joint.
Today we're speaking with Dr. Charles T. Price, Medical Director of the International Hip Dysplasia Institute here on eHealth Radio's Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, as far as prevention is concerned, can hip dysplasia be prevented?
Well, we like to think so. It could certainly be reduced considerably. In Austria, they've had a program that's decreased the risk by about half. And they're a developed country. In underdeveloped regions, of course, the problem is to make the early diagnosis and treat it early. If you find it in newborns and treat it early, you can treat it pretty simply with braces or pillows or things between the legs just to keep the hip in the socket while it grows. But if you miss it during the first 6 months, then the treatment gets more and more invasive, as you might imagine. So we do, the International Hip Dysplasia Institute has some projects going to look at prevention with newborn care practices, the way babies are carried and managed after birth, and also some other possibilities. The kids that are at risk, one thing we look for are risk factors to see who's most likely to get it. It definitely runs in families, but families share common environments too, so that's a little hard to separate. But if there's a family history of hip dysplasia, then there's a high likelihood that a next child will have hip dysplasia. Other things are babies that are born in the breech position, or they're born bottom first. When they sit bottom first in the womb instead of head down, then it puts a stretch on the hips, and as many as 1 in 10 of those babies can have a dislocated hip. Some other things are firstborn girls are a little more risk than boys because of the mother's hormone, and swaddling, tight swaddling with the legs straight out like a papoose can damage the hips at an early stage. So prevention, there's some things we know you can do for prevention, and the most important ones are to find it early, treat it simply, and keep the baby's hips in a natural position during the first 6 months of life. There seems to be a temptation to want to stretch the baby's hips out and make them look like adult hips, but babies like to keep their hips drawn up. They're still in that womb position for a while, and they ought to stay that way, not all the time, but certainly hip positioning during the newborn and first 6 months of life is very important.
Certainly appreciate those preventative tips there. Now, who is the International Hip Dysplasia Institute, and what do they do? Touch on some of those details as well.
As you mentioned, the International Hip Dysplasia Institute is a collaboration of expert physicians actually around the globe, and we meet twice a year, and we discuss options for managing this problem. We've got a kind of a targeted approach that we think it's sort of like the Manhattan Project, where we're actually finding what's the next step we have to do to solve this problem. We also run a website for people that's www.hipdysplasia.org that's for parents and for physicians to get education. We get about 4,000 visits a day, so we know there's a lot of need out there. And so we provide advice and information for parents. We put on educational programs, and we're just glad to be part of it. Larry the Cable Guy and his wife got us started with a very generous donation about 10 years ago, and we've been spending that money. All of the money that we get donated goes to promoting awareness and prevention and treatment. So we're real pleased to have Larry the Cable Guy as one of our as our major patron.
And you certainly got to love that and appreciate that as well. Now, as a new parent, what can we do to protect our newborns?
The first thing is to make sure you don't swaddle their legs real tightly. Swaddling is something that's popular because it does help the children sleep better. A lot of parents like to do it. The babies get calmed when you wrap their arms together like they're in the womb. But there's a temptation to wrap their legs real tightly. And we've got a video on our website, again, hipdysplasia.org, that shows how you can safely swaddle your baby and wrap your baby. And after that, the baby, even baby carrying, is real popular now. Baby wearing, or not just going to the store, but keeping your baby on the mother's body with a carrying device for several hours at a time is real popular. And that needs to be done properly so the hips are in the best position to develop. On our website, we list some products that are hip healthy that are designed by the companies. The companies have been, some of them have been real good about understanding hip development, and we've tried to recognize those companies that are promoting hip healthy development during the first 6 months of life, and those are listed as hip healthy products on our website.
Dr. Price, certainly has been our pleasure to have had you, and thanks so much for what you do through the International Hip Dysplasia Institute and for bringing focus and awareness to hip dysplasia. It is hipdysplasia.org. Dr. Price, thanks for spending a moment with us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you, Eric. Take care.
And you're most welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Charles T. Price, Medical Director of the International Hip Dysplasia Institute, a global consortium of physicians who come together to share their expertise in a coordinated effort to promote best practices for the prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of hip dysplasia. And for further details, visit hipdysplasia.org. And all links will be included within the show notes of this broadcast. And again, this is Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.